If you record your name and reason for calling, I'll see if this person is available.
Jamie from INS Law, about your inquiry about the Scottish redress scheme.
Thanks, Jamie. Please.
Hello?
Hi, is that Peter?
Yes, it is, yeah, hi.
Hi, Peter. My name's Jamie. I'm calling from INS Law. We've just received an inquiry online in relation to an application to the Scottish Redress Scheme.
Is now
a convenient time to talk, or do you want me
to
come in?
Yeah, it's fine. Great.
Okay, bear with me. I'm just getting into my system now. I won't be a second. Right. So, Peter, first off, I just need to take some base details. Okay. So, your full name we have is Peter Carter. Is that correct?
Yeah. Middle name's Alan, 1L.
Alan. Okay. I'll pop that in now. And have you ever been known by any previous names?
No.
Okay. And your date of birth?
21st of May, 1976.
So that's the 21st of May, 76, yes?
That's right, yeah.
Great. And your current address?
C. Murray Terrace, Logie Rate, Pitlochry.
Have you got the postcode?
Yeah, TH90LA.
Was that D for Delta?
Oh, sorry, P for Papa.
Oh, PH90LF.
0LA, A for Alpha.
A for Alpha, I do apologise. Right.
That's okay.
And that's Murray Terrace. And what number was it again?
Number C.
One moment. Perfect. I've got that here. Thank you. Right. Okay. Can you recall your address prior to entering the care settings you were in?
I'm not 100% sure. 10 Early Crescent, Arbroath. It was in 1987. I went in the care system. It was Early Crescent anyway. And Arbroath.
Right.
I'm not exactly sure the number.
Don't worry, it's fine, not to worry. And can you recall your parents' names?
Yeah, Una Carter.
How are you spelling that?
U-N-A.
U-N-A, Carter, yeah. And
that's
father?
Right. Father is Gordon Carter.
Gordon Carter.
Yeah, but my main carer was my gran.
Your gran, right, okay. Yeah, it's just under sometimes when we request records on your behalf, sometimes the local authorities used to file them in such a draconic way that they wouldn't file it under your name. They'd file it under your parents' name, so that's fine.
Okay.
The number I'm speaking with you on now, is that the best number to reach you on?
Yes, it is, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep, and the email address we have is peter189carter@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's my name.
Right. And just to confirm, are you okay for us to contact you via telephone, email, and text message?
No problem, yeah.
Yep, that's great. So I need to go into a bit of a script now, Peter, okay? So
It's
just for me to obviously explain everything to you. So I do appreciate that discussing these experiences connected to your application can be difficult and upsetting. So take your time during the call. If you need a break, any further explanation from myself, support, or you want to continue another time, just let me know. And do you suffer from any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities that you want to make me aware of?
No, I've got a schizoaffective disorder and bipolar.
Right, okay. But you're okay with communication? That's
absolutely fine, yeah. Uh-huh.
Right, okay. So the purpose of this call today is for me to explain to you what the Scottish Redress Scheme is. I'm going to explain all the options available to you. I'm going to explain to you how we, INS Law, operates. I'll discuss the funding and the fees in relation to the application, and I'll gather all the initial information to assess whether we can assist you. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. It is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct us. So you are entitled to apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme by yourself without any assistance from a solicitor, or you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fees Scheme. So those type of solicitors are paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. So under that scheme, participating solicitors can receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government directly for assisting you with the application, and they get paid that regardless of whether you are successful or not with your application.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We at INS Law, we do not operate under that statutory scheme and will not claim those government-funded fees. So if you decide to instruct us, you'd be choosing private legal representation, and we act under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. So at this stage, I just need you to confirm, have you instructed any other solicitors to assist you with your application?
I haven't, no.
Great. Okay, that's perfect. And you understand everything I've just informed you, yes?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, so our agreements, the way we operate, it operates a no-win, no-fee basis. That's what a conditional fee agreement is. So if your application is unsuccessful, you pay absolutely nothing.
Okay.
If you withdraw your application on our advice, again, you pay absolutely nothing.
Uh-huh.
However, if your application is successful and you do receive a payment from Redress, our fees consist of a basic charges based on the time spent and a success fee. However, the total fees are capped at no more than 16% plus VAT of your Redress payment, and you will never pay a penny more than that agreed cap. Is that okay? Do you understand that?
That's fine. Yeah, I don't understand.
So I also have to inform you that I've got to make clear that we can't guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of the award the scheme can give you. And that's purely because the Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which I'll explain in more detail during this call. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Great. So if you choose to instruct us, we can assist with assessing your eligibility to apply to the Redress Scheme. We will gather and review all evidence on your behalf. We will prepare and submit the applications. We'll carry out all the correspondence with the Scottish Redress Scheme. We will provide advice on any offers made by the scheme. We'll explain the statutory waiver if an award is offered. And we'll also provide any assistance that may be necessary with a reconsideration or review process within the scheme. Is that all okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Great. So I'll explain what the statutory waiver is now, because that's extremely important. So if a redress offer is made, we will fully explain the statutory waiver before you decide whether to accept anything. And that's important, because accepting an award can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the same matter. So you'd never be expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences. Is that okay?
That's okay, yeah.
Yep. So if you do decide to proceed with INS Law, you do have a 14-day cancellation period after signing the agreement. So that just means that you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. If you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately whilst your cancellation rights still remain. So if you do proceed with us, are you happy for us to begin work immediately whilst you still have that 14-day cancellation period intact?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Also, so we're able to formally act for you, we do require proof of your identity for verification purposes. So we will need a copy of photographic ID and proof of address dated within 3 months of today's date.
Yeah. Sorry, I haven't got any passport or driving license, but I haven't got a bus pass.
Yeah, that's not to worry. Is it a Saltire card?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we can't accept Saltire cards, but what we can do, it's okay. Don't worry. What we can do, if you haven't got photo ID, we can just get 3 different copies of documents showing your proof of address. So essentially, just 3 different letters with your name, address, and it has to be dated within 3 months of today's date. And that's just to comply with our anti-money laundering purposes. So following this conversation, I'll send you an email just with all the requisite information as to what is and is not acceptable forms of ID. Is that okay?
Okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Perfect. So at this stage, I just now need to start gathering some information for the actual application. Okay. So I've already took some base details from you. So that's great. I've got to ask, Peter, do you suffer with any terminal illnesses?
No.
Right, okay. And under the redress scheme, you can nominate a beneficiary. So a beneficiary is someone who would step into your shoes should anything happen to you while this application is ongoing. So is there anyone you want to nominate as a beneficiary?
Yes, Makira, my partner, Fiona Burke.
What's her name? Fiona?
Fiona Elaine Burke. E-L-A-I-N Burt, B-U-R-T.
B-U-R-T, Fiona Birth. Right, okay. Do you know Fiona's date of birth?
Yes, 10th, the 11th, 1985.
Perfect. And her address, is it the same address as you?
That's right, yeah.
Right, that's perfect. Thank you very much, Peter. Right, I've just got to ask as well, have you ever applied to the advance payment scheme?
No, I think so, no.
Right, okay. That's absolutely fine. And were you known by a different name whilst you were in care than the one you use now?
No.
Okay. That's fine. Right, I've got all those details. That's absolutely fine. Right. Have you ever received a payment from the Criminal Injuries Compensation Authority in relation to the abuse you've suffered?
No. I've had compensation when I was a child for a court case, a different court case.
That's fine.
I was in a children's home.
Yeah, that's okay. Not to worry. And do you have any criminal convictions for rape or murder? Or have you received a sentence of imprisonment of 5 years or more for a relevant violent or sexual offence?
No.
Perfect. I know that seems quite intrusive, but it's just because it can impact the compensation element. Okay. That's absolutely fine. So at this stage, what I need to do now, Peter, is I need to take some information about the care settings you were in. Okay. So in relation to the, how many care settings were you in? Can you recall?
I was in two. Two.
Right. Okay. So what was the first one you were in? Can you recall?
I think it was called Burnside House in Kirton and Dundee, Scotland.
Burnside.
Yeah.
Burnside in Dundee.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dundee Children's Home. Was that on Hairstain Road, Kirkton?
I think so, yeah.
I've got that here, and that's great. Uh-huh. Okay. And what date range were you there? What years?
1986 to 1987, I think.
1986 to 1987, right. Okay. Let me just get all this entered. Right, and what was the second one you were in?
It was Carolina House. That was on Strathmore Avenue, 281 Strathmore Avenue.
Right, how are you spelling? Sorry, the first part.
Carolina. I'm sorry.
Is it Carolina or
Carolina, I-N-A. Yeah.
Carolina House.
Carolina House, that's right, yeah.
Right, okay. And did you say that was on Ferry Road?
It was on 281 Strathmore Avenue.
Right, let me see if I can find that. Carolina House. Strathmain. I've got Carolina House, 281 Strathmartin Road, Dundee.
Sorry, I think it's Strathmore.
Right, okay, that's fine. Let me just add that in. Right, okay. And that was in Dundee, yes?
Yeah, that was 1987 till 1992, I think.
Right. Okay. I've got that information now. So what I need to do is, for the purposes of the app, the initial application, we have to take short, succinct statements, detailing what happened. So I say short at this stage because later down the line, one of my colleagues in another team will be taking a much more in-depth statement, which is going to be your chief piece of evidence. Okay. Just in your own words, explain to me what your time was like at Dundee Children's Home. Obviously, when it comes to abuse, I'll just say this is, abuse comes in many forms. It can be physical, emotional, psychological, sexual, and it can be neglect and such things as humiliation, withholding food, etc. Yeah. Okay. So just in your own words, Dundee Children's Home, when you're ready.
Yeah, well, it was emotional. What it was is that I was taken off. I was taken out in a children's home through our both. I never got to really see my gran, you know. And she stayed in our both, and I was moved to Dundee. I never seen her legitimately. You know, she came up to try and see me. She passed away when I was put in a main children's home. I got to see her at Strathcastle on her deathbed. You know, I didn't know she was dying. Sorry.
Sorry, just to clarify, so did you say she tried to come and see you when you were at the
Well,
leave?
yeah, she tried to come and see me, but she wasn't allowed. She looked over the wall and she wanted me, you know, to go with her. And that was the only time I seen her, apart from when she was on her deathbed in Sandcastle Hospital in Brechin. You know, they took me to see her and we went on holiday weeks later. And she passed away, and like I was crying at the time, and they put the arm down us, and then after that, there was never talking about her or anything, nothing. I went through a lot of trauma, and maybe, you know, I feel that I've been in mental hospitals because of the trauma. I had to deal with it over the years. I was on medication, and I couldn't deal with it properly, and I've just dealt with it over the last maybe 5, 6, 7 years.
So in terms of they wouldn't let you see her, would they say anything mean to you? What would they like when they were saying you're not allowed to see her?
No, they never said anything. I don't know what happened. It was just that I remember being in the children's home. They said I would go for a 3-week assessment at Burnside, then I would go back to my gran. And that never happened. And then I was in there for 6 months and I was moved to Carolina House. My gran tried to get me to go with her once in Burnside, and that's the only time I've seen her until Staff Castle.
Okay.
And, yeah, so.
And did anything else happen? Was there any abuse from the people who worked there, from the children you were with? Was there, what were the meals like? Any other details you can
No, recall? I mean, everything was fine. It was okay. It was good. You know, it was just a trauma I was sitting with, and, you know, I went in 1 week world and things like that, and I struggled at school. I struggled, interacting some of the times and things like that, and emotions and stuff.
Right, okay. And so that's all we've got for Burnside. Tell me about Carolina House.
Oh, that was sort of like Burnside and Carolina House, because I was moved to Carolina House rather quickly after it, where she did pass away. Burnside is where I first initially seen my gran for the first time after the children's panel.
Yeah. Okay, so in relation to Carolina House, you were there from 87 to 92, so you were there for
roughly
quite an extended time. Tell me about any abuse you may have suffered in Carolina House.
Well, no, I mean, it was just uncomfortable, really. I mean, there wasn't any kind of abuse or anything like that for me at all. You know, I mean, all the staff seemed to be fine. You know, it was just the trauma I had with my grand passing and not people not dealing with it.
So when you say it was uncomfortable, what do you mean by that? Can you elaborate further?
Yeah, well, things like, you know, it was just I wasn't used to that environment. I was used to being with my gran. There was fights. There was, you know, with other, you know, children. There was riots and things.
There was fights and riots. See, so some people may think that this obviously isn't bad, but if you did you ever get in any fights with other kids?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Uh-huh.
Right, okay. And would the carers, the people who worked there, would they intervene? What was it like?
Well, at the time, no. I mean, it was behind the shed that happened, and I can't remember too much detail about how the staff dealt with that. But, you know, I think it was... Sorry?
So you can't recall the people who worked there intervening or stopping the fights?
Well, I'm not 100% sure of 100 memory if they were there or that or what happened. I remember the person who was fighting was scratching my face and everything. I don't know how it was dealt with. I'm not sure. I was really traumatised at the time, obviously, because of the, you know, my grand's passing and stuff like that. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
You think you're an adult now, you're just growing up, you think, ah, you just kind of, it didn't mean nothing. But you know,
no, but it obviously can have a long-lasting impact, things like this,
yeah.
Especially from childhood. So you said
yeah.
There were riots. What did you mean by riots?
Well, there was two occasions where, you know, like, one occasion where we were in, Scott House, where we end up barricading ourselves in the room and that. And I just remember, like, fire brigade coming to the window and saying that, like, we're going to smash the windows in and that. And there was axes saying we're told to move away from the door because we're going to put an axe to the door and that. And it was sort of like taking down to the police station and everything like that, you know, so...
So did they actually use the axes to break through the door?
I think so, yeah, they did, yeah, because we have to go and pick all that up afterwards. So we're told to move away from the door, and then they would use the axe.
So you were made to pick up all this broken wood and obviously sharp pieces.
Yeah, not all of us, but I think it was three of us or something, I think.
Right, I'm just taking notes, by the way, if I ever go quiet for a second. So what was the reason for the riots?
I can't remember. That was the main one. I can't remember. I'm not sure. I wasn't aware.
Usually people riot or protest if they're not being treated right or if there's obviously issues.
I'm not sure, actually. I can't remember. I just remember, you know, I had friends and things like that. So I just wanted to be in the room with them. I didn't have any kind of situation, the reason to do it. I just wanted to be in the room with them. You know?
Right. Okay. But I take it was obviously the fire brigade attendant breaking down the doors with axes and then you being made to clean it all up afterwards.
It was just like the window when the fire brigade looked in the window and said, we're going to break the window, and they just smashed all the windows in and went to the door, and we moved across to the door and we were told to move away from the door because we're going to put an axe to the door, and they put an axe to the door. And then they arrested us and took us down to the police station. I think it was only for 6 hours or so.
So when they smashed the windows, the glass, I take it, go everywhere. Were you near the window? Did any glass hit you?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were moving towards the window. I think at the window, not directly at the window when they were there. We were a bit away from it. And then we weren't told to move it back. I think they did step back, but not much. And then they just smashed the windows. It happened so quickly. I'm not sure it was all of them or it was just one or two of them.
Yeah.
No?
Okay. So, obviously, from what you're describing, there was fights. Obviously, you were injured on the occasion. You can't recall whether the workers actually intervened.
No.
You were obviously still suffering with some trauma from your grand.
Mm-hmm.
And there was these two riots. You barricaded yourselves in a room. You can't really recall, right? The fire brigade attended. They broke the door, smashed the windows. You were made to clean it all up afterwards. So, what were the people with the people who worked there? Did they ever call you names? Were they ever unkind to you?
No. I mean, they were not really good. You know, it was just a trauma that helped us. That was all. You know.
Yeah. Okay. And what were the meals like in both Burnside and Carolina House? Were you fed well? Was there any issues with food?
I think we had four meals a day. I think the food was fine.
Okay. So can you recall any other details whatsoever about potentially any mistreatment, any humiliating remarks, any carers or workers turning a blind eye when they should have been obviously showing you support or caring for you?
No, I can't remember. It was so long ago, so no, I mean, so far as I'm aware, no.
Right. Okay. So what I've got is, obviously, you felt like there was a lot of emotional abuse in the Burnside. There was all the issues with your gran as well. You were told you were only going there for 3 weeks and you were there for 6 months.
Yeah.
You then got moved to Carolina House. You said it was very uncomfortable. There was fights and riots. You got in fights with children and no one intervened. You were still obviously dealing with trauma. And then I don't want to go over again, but everything with the fire brigade, you smashing the windows, the doors, etc.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right, so I've got all that. That's absolutely fine. Right, so from what you've told me, there's two types of applications that can be pursued under the redress scheme. The first is a fixed payment of £10,000. So that's a fixed award regardless of the severity of the abuse you suffered.
Yeah.
There's also an individually assessed payment. So that's up to £100,000, and that's decided by a closed panel, dependent on the level of abuse you've suffered. Based on what you've told me, I think we should be applying for the individually assessed payment just because I don't think the £10,000 would be adequate. So is that happy? Are you happy for me to do so? Yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Just let you know, you won't be required to attend any meetings. So as I said earlier, later down the line, we'll provide a much more substantive witness statement. We'll get that submitted to redress, and then the closed panel, they essentially go behind closed doors, look at all the evidence, and then they make an award. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Right. So based on what you told me, what I will do next is I will send you via email a client care letter, a conditional fee agreement, a letter of authority, and the requisite application forms, which will already be filled in completely for you. Okay. So they'll come to you via email and text message with a little e-signature link. So all you do is click that link, you go through the forms, you sign the relevant boxes. So at the bottom of it, you'll see a little it's a little thing telling you how many boxes need to be signed. If you click that, it'll take you directly to those forms. Okay. You click it, you click the box, you give it a little squiggle with your finger on your touch phone, and then you click save. You go all the way down to the bottom of the forms, and there's a tick box that you have to tick. So you tick that tick box, you click submit, and it all comes straight back to me. Okay. Dead easy. Obviously, if you have any issues whatsoever, give me a call back. I will be leaving the office soon, but I'll stay to make sure to get to you this evening. I'll get everything sent to you. And then tomorrow, if you're having any issues, I or my colleagues will give you a call back. And then what we'll do is, once we've got everything signed on our end, we'll get the application submitted to Redress, and we will obviously keep you updated through the process. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
So, have you got any questions for me at this stage?
No. I don't think so. No.
Right. Okay. Well, obviously, if anything comes to mind, you need any further explanation, clarification, just give me a call. Okay. I'll be happy to assist. But give me about 15, 20 minutes, and you'll have these documents with you via email and text. Okay.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for your time. Take care.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye now. Bye.
Bye.